Okay, we're picking off the Mishnah Kuf Mem Gimel Amad Aleph, where the Mishnah is 7 lines from the top. The words Bishamei Omrim. So we're now the last Mishnah of the parak discussing Muktzah. So the Mishnah tells us Bishamei Omrim Ma'avirim Al Hashulchan Atzamos Aklip, and you're allowed to take off the table. You're allowed to take off the bones and the shells from the table, even with your hand. Bishil Omrim Misalek Es Atavla Kula Minar. However, Bishil is more Machmir over here. The version we have it, the Gemara is going to discuss this. But according to the version of the Mishnah tells us that no, you have to take the table by the bottom part, like the board part of the table, and you shake it off in that manner in order to get to the crumbs off in an indirect fashion. Not the crumbs, here the bones and the shells in an indirect fashion, because otherwise it is a problem of mukta. According to Rashi, Mishnah is telling us even bones and nuts and shells that are too hard to be in by animals. That's the chiddush over here according to that. And Beit Shammai is saying that even doing that, even moving those by hands are going to be mutter, because they don't hold of the definition of mukta like Rabbi Huda, as we mentioned on yesterday's daf, that is much more machmir. They're holding like the shita of Rabbi Shimon, which is much more makel. However, Tosfos disagree. They say, why would you assume Rabbi Shimon would allow you to have if it's not even fit for food of an animal, then the Chora, Rabbi Shimon would be machmir as well. So it can't be that it's not fit for anyone like Rashi wanted to tell. Therefore, they say that we must be discussing where it is fit for an animal. As Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on this line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Ma'avirin milifnei hashulchan. You're also allowed to remove from in front of the table with your hands perur and pachos mekazayis, crumbs that are less than a kazayis, v'sear shelafanim v'sear adashim. Also, if you have these type of pea pods and lentil pods, neshu meichal beima, because these two things are considered foods of animals, and therefore, since they're considered foods of animals, they're less than a kazayis. They're not going to be considered mukta, and therefore, it's not going to be a problem of moving it on Shabbos. Aga, we see over here that less than a kazayis of bread is only considered meichal beima. That's interesting. A little bit of a kasha, and the Chazon Ish held that a person has to do bedikas chametz on everything, even less than a kazayis. You have to look for every single little thing, even less than a kazayis. Or over here, we see beferish that it's only a meichel behema to do it less. So I saw others wanted to taina to answer for this Chazon Ish over here against this mission, the backdrop that maybe over here it's only if it's like mamish little crumb. If it's like half of a little crumb, even that would be ro'ei la'achilas adam. Here, the chiddush of the Mishnah is it's mamish a tiny little speck of a crumb. Even that would be lechora only animal food. Now the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Folk, if you have a sponge, im yesh ba or." If there is a handle, you're allowed to move it even when it is wet. However, if it doesn't have this handle, then you're not allowed to move it when it's going to be wet. Why is that? Because we're afraid that you're going to wring it out, which is being told of Bilaban. Either you're going to have told of Malabin, or potentially it's going to be the Malach of Dash, a Mefarek told of the Dash. Those are the two options we mentioned before, the general of Schita. Then the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says, Benkach, Benkach, Notel, B'Shabbos, V'ino Mekabel, Tuma. That in either case, you're allowed to take it out, Rashi points out, when it's dry. Here we discuss when it's dry, you're allowed to take it on Shabbos, and it's also not going to be susceptible to Tuma, because Rashi points out that we know that the Torah lists different things which are Mekabel, Tuma. Kli'ates, like wooden kalim, begadim, clothing, sack, right, sack, and metachas, and metal, so this is not one of those things, so therefore, it's not mekabel tuma midaraisa. So now the Mishnah continues quoting Beit Shammai, and the Gemara quotes and says that our version is different than the Gemara's version, than the Mishnah's version. Where's the Gemara of Nachman? Ein lanu ela Beit Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda u'Beisila k'Rabbi Shimon. We don't have this version of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah has it over here, first of all, it should be one of the exceptions where Beit Shammai is Mekel and Beisila is Machmer, but we don't have it in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was that Beit Shammai was more Machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, who is much more Machmer with regards to Halachos Muktzah, right? With general standard assumption, are you going to use the kli or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, is usually more Machmer than only for its intended purpose. However, Rabbi Shimon would say that as long as there's a functional purpose on Shabbos, it's going to be okay. That machlokas would carry out over here as well, where Rabbi Huda would be machmir. That lechora is shitas bishamay. However, the way we have it in the Mishnah is that bishamay is being makel, so it can't be that's our version of Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is being makel, that's like Beis Hillel. So therefore, our Mishnah doesn't line up with the correct way we have it in the Masorah of what bishamay and Beis Hillel shita really was. Now the Mishnah continues ma'avirin milifnei hashulchan perurin. As we said, that again, you're allowed to move with from the table, the crumbs that are smaller than the kazayas. The Gemara says, "Messiah leil Rabbi Yochanan." This is a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told us, "Perur and shein bekazayas asur labdan biyad." That if you have crumbs, even if they're smaller than the kazayas, they're not allowed to be destroyed and put them into the garbage like that. Rashi says, "Why? Because the lashon of ma'avirin v'lo zarek." You say ma'avirin is you remove them. It sounds like in a dignified way, a nice way, not actually just throwing them out in the garbage. That would be asur. So therefore, we see that our Mishnah is supporting the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfos has a kasha, a few kashas. One of them is that, first of all, Rabbi Yochanan in Brachos doesn't say that. Rabbi Yochanan, the way we have it in Brachos, says that it's mutter. So how is that it's mutter if it's pachos mikazayis? And also Tosfos says a few other kashas. Tosfos says that we also say that if the Shammai is a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to do it. And so basically, Tosfos come out that it can't be that it's Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that it's us, or rather, it's going to be, our guess has to be Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Mutter. And therefore, we're saying that it's really not a problem, and that we go with the Gemara and Brachos, I would say it's Mutter. And really, it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted actually that Be'ikra Din, it's Mutter. However, it's going to be leading to poverty if a person treats bread not respectfully. So therefore, we're Machmir, you should try to Lechad Chila be Machmir. However, Me'ikra Me'ikra Din, the throw out in a Bizayon way is not necessarily going to be ushered, but to do it lechalchila better, especially because the considerations will lead to our poverty for treating bread disrespectfully, you should be throwing out even less gazayas in another plastic bag. Rav Asher says if you put the other plastic bag, no shaylef, even if you're putting that in the garbage, as long as it's in a separate plastic bag, that would be okay, and that's what lechalchila should be done for throwing out bread. More than gazayas is Me'ikra Din of the Gemara, that's halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Even less, ideally, you should be doing this as well. Now the Mishnah continues. Mishnah says, Seah Shalom Fan, if you have these pea pods, the lentil pods, you're allowed to move them because they're animal food. Samara says, Mani, who is this Tana that says this Pshita? It must be Rabbi Shimon, it's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of the broad application of Muksa, as we mentioned before. However, Rabbi Yehuda Lachor would hold that these pods are Muksa. The Gemara says, if that's the case, so Ema Seifa, the latter half of the Mishnah tells us, Fug, if you have a sponge, if this sponge has a leather handle, you're allowed to wipe with it. If it doesn't, you're not allowed to handle it. It seemingly is telling us that the reason that it's going to be Usher is because you're going to actually come to squeeze it out. Us and Rabbi Yehuda, but if that's the case, that's only going to Shiva to Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Damar Shina Miskavin Aser. He said that something is going to potentially happen, but not 100%. That was another broader machlokas that we had with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Hilchos Shabbos that we've had many, many times over already. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if something is potentially going to come out, it's not necessarily going to squeeze out 100%. It might squeeze out if you're rubbing it off with the water. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's Aser. So Rabbi Shimon, though, holds that it's Mutter. So this mission tells you that it's Aser to do it, to use this sponge. So why should it be Aser? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not necessarily going to happen. The Gemara says, no, it is going to happen. No, that's not maybe going to happen. When you use a sponge and you're rubbing it on hard on a surface, it's poshut, the water is going to come out. So then you're squeezing out the water, and that would be an example of seek ratios I mentioned before, something that's definitely going to happen. If something is definitely going to happen, we saw many times also, Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's going to be us, or not only that, we even saw that Rabbi Shimon is going to be moda, that's an Isser Dereisa. It's like Rabbi Yavishav pointed out together, that's like your Ilu Miskavin. If you know that there's going to be a 100% result of something going to happen based on your action, that is going to create an Isser De'oraisa l'fi Reb Shimon as well, in a case where we're talking about a Malacha De'oraisa, but either way, Reb Shimon for sure agrees that it's going to be Isser. So this is Seifa that you want to suggest is maybe only Shitas Reb Yehuda. No, it really, in fact, is Shitas Reb Shimon as well. Now the Gemara continues, the Gemara discusses other things. Gemara says, Hanigar ina de tmari are mayasa. If you have these Armenian dates, which apparently Rashi says are not a good quality, and they would be fed to your animals, so Sharla Talisin, you're still allowed to move them because, again, they're animal food. Hoi v'chazin agaviman, because they are fit to be used with their mother, meaning the dates themselves. On Shabbos, you could feed those dates to the animals. So to the pits, Mamela are going to not be a problem of going to be a problem of mukta. And Tosfos point out that's pashut according to Rabbi Shimon. So why would even have mina? So Tosfos says the fear of Yehuda of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, that the pit itself is not going to be considered nola because these dates itself, this whole gemara is a liba de Rabbi Yehuda that is more machmir on mukta. And according to him, when you have the dates that lechora are for animal food, so that's the chiddush over here, that the pits themselves will not become mukta. However, with the Farsina Asa, when it comes to these Persian dates, Rashi's are higher quality. So if they're higher quality dates, which are now meant for human food and human consumption, so the pits are only now meant for animal food, that would be considered no lot on Shabbos, because the pits were not ready before Shabbos. The only way you got to them is by eating the outside, and that lefira bihuda lechora would be a problem of no lot, and lefira bihuda would be a problem. Now the Gemara continues discussing different Amoraim's practice of what they used to do with the Hanhagos about this used to do. Rav Elisha says in this type of format, in this circumstance, this is the only place in Shas where these Hanhagos have had to be machir for certain halacha is mentioned. Okay, I don't know the Bekiyas Ian or anything of Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv says it, I believe him, that this is the only type of style of this Gemara that we see anywhere in Shas. So what is this? Shmuel Metatalu Agav Rifta. That Shmuel, the way you used to be machmer was he would move them on the top of a piece of bread, so he would do it indirectly. And we saw, even though he held like Rabbi Shimon, he was machmer himself because he was Adam Gadol. So we see his practice over here. Now the Gemara Ketun is different. Amoraim Shinarim Shafis Simon. This Simon is telling us that it was Shmuel, Rabba, Rav Huna, Amemar, Rav Sheshes, Rav Papa, and Rav Zacharia. That's the mnemonic over here. The different Amoraim. So the Gemara says, now Shmuel Taimei Damar Shmuel Ose Adam Kol Tarka Bapas. This is Shmuel, as we've seen in other circumstances. Gemara and Brachos, we've seen this already, that a person is about to use bread for all of his needs. So therefore, you're allowed to use bread, in this case not considered disrespectful, to use the bread by putting the pit on it, and that would not be an issue of disrespect towards the bread. However, we pointed out over there that using the bread for any other purpose would be usher, and making something inedible is also going to be usher, and throwing it out. All these dinim were machmir to give the chashivas to the bread. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rav metaltalu agav lekana demaya. Rabba would move them with a bucket of water. That's the way he used to move it indirectly. Rav Huna braid of Yeshua, v'lekagrash l'rei. Rav Huna braid of Yeshua, he used to make pile them up a lot, Rashi says, and therefore since he'd pile them a lot, and then it would get disgusting in front of him, so then that would be like a grash l'rei, which is like something like excrement in front of you, which you're allowed to move. Grash l'rei is like any garbage, something that's repulsive to you. If something is repulsive to you, you're allowed to then move it like a garbage, you're allowed to move it out of your sight. So the Gemara now says that the Gemara has a kasha on this. The Gemara says, Amar l'ravashi la'meimar, v'chiosin grash l'rei l'charchila. Is it really mutter to make a grash l'rei on purpose to create this din over here? The chora piling his pits is going to be usher in this way because he specifically made a grash l'rei. We don't make it on purpose. If it comes out like that, you're allowed to make it, but if it's you're not supposed to create a situation where you're creating the grash l'rei on purpose. So the Gemara says, therefore, Rav Sheshes Arak Lubelishne, Rav Sheshes would toss them, Rashi says, very far with his mouth, Al Evra Shulchan, already past the table, so he wouldn't have a problem getting into the Shiloh. So we see that he was Machmir, and we see that we're Machmir on grash l'rei Lechachil. There's a Shiloh in the Achronim, whether that only applies outside your house or not. I think the Drisha, I think I'm not mistaken, Drisha and Rav Shulchan Acharav, a machlokas about this, whether or not creating grash l'rei in your house is going to be mutter. And there's an afkamina, so according to the Achronim, is that let's say your air conditioning is leaking. The side of the air conditioning, that little water is leaking in your house. So it's going to create a grash l'rei by that moving that bucket. It's going to smell probably. You want to move it out at some point. So is it going to be mutter to move that bucket of water? So l'chora, according to, if you assume that it's not an issue in your house, that would not be an issue. However, I think Shulchan Aruch was machmir. So then they said that you'd have to, according to the Shulchan Aruch, what you'd have to do is put another heter thing that's more chashiv in it, like let's say a bottle of wine or something that's chashiv in there, and then you'd be allowed to move it out because then you'd be creating a klish l'heter, the machlo sheheter l'iser, where there's no brera, then you'd be doing that. That would be more like chachila. Okay, either way, the Gemara continues. Rav Papa zarek lu achorei amita. Rav Papa used to throw it behind the bed behind him, and because he was in the place where he was reclining, really probably more of a table thing that he used to recline on. Amar lav Rabbi Zechai ben of Kolos the same Rabbi Chaim of Kolos. Shai machzer panav achorei amita v'zarka. And he would turn his face behind the place where he was eating while lying down, and he would toss the pits there. And he was machmer, and he would be machmer like that as well. So we see that he was machmer not to move them directly. With that, we hajr lachanotel notel adam as bino. So now we see over there, we finish this parak. We're moving on to the next parak. The next parak is going to discuss different dinim about dinim derabanan, mainly mini isurim derabanan. So now we have chavish nishbara. If you have a barrel that broke, matzilim in mazon shalosh shodos, you're allowed to save from on Shabbos enough for three different meals. We mentioned this before. We had this din similar with a fire that. So the Rabbanan said that it's usher to rescue from the fire. And there we were afraid that in your panic to save it was going to come to put out the fire. Here, in your panic to save the wine, you're going to. One option is that you might come to accidentally carry in the shusharab, and that's one answer given. Another answer of potentially what the answer is over here, we're going to come to fix the kli. If you're going to come to fix the kli, which is misakin kli, so therefore over here, you're allowed to save it for three meals. So Omer Lachem, Bova Etzilin, calls until others come and save for yourself. And in that situation also, because enough for your three meals, whatever you want to use for your three meals of Shabbos. But that's going to be enough, provided that one doesn't doesn't get it so wet that it's going to get like a sponge level with the spilled wine. Because if you do that, that Rashi points out, it's going to maybe potentially lead you to squeeze from the sponge, which is going to be the iser of schlita, which would be usher. It's just interesting to note what Agav mentioned over there when it comes to the shalosh shudas, is that dafka only where you didn't eat, or if you didn't eat it, that was a shayla we discussed earlier. And also, it's interesting to point, I thought what potentially is interesting is that it says about over here, the fact that everyone is possibly going to be having wine, lechora at all three seudos. That's the Rambam writes that a person should have wine. I never see anyone bring this up. Maybe as a potential raya for the Rambam that we see over here. You at least the minigah, that at least it was allowed to save it for the shal shudas if you wanted to save. Maybe if you didn't even have it, but lechora, I thought there was a sniff at least of a raya for the Rambam that holds that you should be having wine and shal shudas. So no, the Arizal, which has the Yartzeit, the Arizal was one of the chumras that I think Chassidim are makbid about this, that they have a wine at shal shudas. Now the Mishnah continues, Ein Sochtan as a Peres Lotzi Man Mashkin, it's usher to squeeze out fruits of Shabbos in order to extract liquid for them. That is an action that's going to be Mefarik told of the Dash according to Rashi. Mefarik is extracting. That is a told of Dash, which is threshing. Threshing is one taking out the grain from the outer covering. This is also extracting liquid for the food. It's very similar to that. Would be a told of Dash, and that would be usher to do on Shabbos. And even if these liquids just came out on their own, from the fruit. They just oozed out. That's not something that you created. You didn't do that. You didn't intend to do it. That is still going to be usher to have them and drink them on Shabbos by Dindar Abanam, because we're afraid, Rashi points out, we're afraid that if you allow you to do this, you're going to come to squeeze fruits, which would then potentially lead to Isser Daraisa of Mefarek. Rabbi Yehuda says, that if it's for the originally stored fruits for food, for eating, then the liquid that's going to come just naturally out of them, you're not squeezing them, is going to be permitted. Why? Because you never plan on using, let's say, these strawberries or whatever's coming out, the liquid's coming out of the strawberry. You're planning on eating those strawberries if you hold that there's not a problem with bugs. Okay, a bad example. But either way, if you're the oranges, so you're planning on eating those oranges, so then if a little liquid comes out, then that's not a problem for you, according to Biudavim. Lamashkin ayotam en us. However, if I plan on using these oranges specifically to squeeze them, and I had the squeezer ready for after Shabbos, so then these oranges would be usher because it might lead me to come to squeeze them out, which would be usher to do on Shabbos. Chalos tavash arizkan merav Shabbos yotzim atzman asurim. If you have these honeycombs that were cut up before Shabbos and the honey came out of them on Shabbos, again, also on its own, it's still going to be usher to have them on Shabbos or be. Rabbi Eliezer's argument, maybe Rabbi Elazar, is matter. Rabbi Eliezer, whoever it is, he says that it is mutter. According to him, there would not be an issue. Normally, when you have the honeycomb over here, it's not usually to squeeze it out. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar would say that it's not an issue. Why is the Chachamim are saying it's usher? Because we're afraid that someone can assume from here that it's going to be permitted to derive honey from the not cut honeycombs, in which case that would be usher to do on Shabbos, so therefore gzira to that is why the Chachamim were machmir. Now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, lo yisbog bayam. When someone doesn't squeeze up a sponge that's filled with wine on Shabbos, lest you come to squeeze out their wine, Rashi says. Also, someone shouldn't moisten his hand with the spilled oil on Shabbos in order to put it back on its cleave. This is a different issue. This is a problem of Uvdin Dechol, is doing something that you do during, so considered a weekday activity over here. So Shaila in the Rishonim, exactly what about Uvdin Dechol? Remember, we mentioned that Uvdin Dechol, and we're going to have the next part also of Uvdin Dechol, that there's three different really issues when it comes to Uvdin Dechol. So this Lechor is in the category of Uvdin Dechol, of something that's just something that takes away from the spirit of Shabbos, that it's not in the Onik Shabbos to be working hard to do this. This malacha, for whatever reason, Chazal established, that's why it's very hard to have gedarim of what's Uvdin Dechol, as we mentioned earlier, that it's hard to find a gedar, because why exactly does this fit into something that's going to ruin your Shabbos, other things not, but this is what the Rishonim, some Rishonim point out, that this is the category that it would fall into. Tadar Rabbanu, we quote in a brayso, Nisparzu lo peres b'chatzer, if you have fruit that becomes, it spreads around all over your courtyard on Shabbos, malaket al yad ve'ochel, you're allowed to take a little bit at a time and eat them as you're gathering them. You're not allowed to put them in the basket or into a box. Why not? Because this as well is Uvdin Dechol. Now this is even a bigger shaila in the Rishonim. What exactly is Uvdin Dechol with regards to this as well? So this is a shaila. Some say that it's similar to Borer. We saw some Uvdin Dechol is a further removed but somewhat similar to Malachas. And some say that over there it's going to be similar to Borer. I think the Rambam writes that it's similar to Me'amer. It's similar to, we know that the gathering is an Isser D'Oraisa. Us over here, that it looks like you're gathering and you're putting them together, that would be the Isser, looking like the Isser, and therefore it's going to be Uvdin Dechol. Others say that it's just similar to what we saw before, that others shown to explain that it's similar to what we saw before, that it's just if you take them in a box and they're triach, that whole thing, that would be taking away from the spirit of Shabbos, that would be that under that category of Uvdin Dechol. So again, there's a lot of different Rishonim exactly what is Usher, why it's Uvdin Dechol, but either way, doing this would be the Isser of Uvdin Dechol. Now the Mishnah Kadinu Ein Sochtin appears to not allow to squeeze a fruit in Shabbos to take out the liquid from them. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marshim, well, Modei Rav Yehuda L'Chachamim B'Zeisim V'Anavim. Rav Yehuda would agree with the Chachamim in the case that you have liquid that came out naturally from olives and grapes and you didn't squeeze them out. He would hold that that's Usher to have them. Apparently, even when they're stored for eating, the juice that comes out of them is going to be Usher. So the Gemara says, why, my time, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Kevin del Sechito Ninu, Yehoyev Daite, that since most olives and grapes in general, we know that it's Yiluya Achrina, we learn this whole Gemara in Brachos, that you make a special bracha when you have wine and even olive oil. The Gemara, had it not been for Ziki Mazik, you would have had a special bracha potentially. So either way, the Gemara is saying that that's Yiluya, that's a better, that's Ishtan Yiluya, so that we see over here that people generally use it for squeezing, that's a better change, so therefore many people use them for squeezing out. Therefore, it's possible someone will change his mind, and therefore we're going to make a gzera that even when they come out on their own, naturally, they ooze out of them, that would still be usher to have that fruits and that liquid come out on Shabbos. Ve'ula amarav, chalukai Rabbi Yehuda afezesim anavim. Now, Ula says in the name of Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with the Chachamim, even in the case where the liquid's coming out naturally from the olives and from the grapes. He's understanding that even though most olives and grapes are designated for squeezing, since the guy over here clearly designated them for eating, we're not afraid that he's is going to come to accidentally squeeze him on Shabbos. Therefore, we would not make this gzera according to Yehuda. So this is the machlokas within Rabbi Yehuda, how far he would take his kula potentially. So we have here that according to very far, even by zeisim and anavim, even by olives and by grapes. Now, the third statement of an Amor, Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar, Allah is going to follow Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the liquids coming out of other fruit. However, it's not going to be like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to zeisim v'anavim. This apparently is disagreeing. Rav Tosfos point this out. This is going to be disagreeing with Shmuel that understands that they're not arguing over here. He clearly understands that they're arguing b'zeisim v'anavim as well. And there would be machmir like the chachamim. We in fact hold like that. Agav, that we hold that even if it comes out naturally, it's usher to have the liquids that come out of olives and grapes on Shabbos. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Modei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachamim b'zeisim v'anavim. Rabbi Yehuda agreed with the chachamim in the case of liquid that came out of olives and grapes on Shabbos, and modim chacham Rabbi Yehuda b'shar piros, and the chachamim agreed with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to liquid that came out of other fruits. The Gemara says, "Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abba ela b'mai pligi." But what are they arguing about? Amar le l'chi tishka. That is, go look at it. Meaning, you'll see that when you learn the sukkah, you'll see what they're arguing about. So they says, "Amar Rabbi Nachman Reyitzchak Mistavra b'sutim imona pligi l'chara." They're arguing about the case of usually tutim in modern Hebrew means it means strawberries, but here it means mulberries and pomegranates. So that's what we're discussing over. That's what they're arguing about. The Chachamim hold that since the pomegranates and the mulberries over here, they're generally designed for squeezing by some people, they're going to be machmir like we would be by olives and grapes. Therefore, they even if they're stored for eating, the juice that comes out of them is going to be usser. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. He holds that we're going to be makel with regards to tutim virimonim. That is what comes out. And then it would be dependent, lechora, the Mishaburu points out already, that would, every other fruit would depend on the society. If it's normal to squeeze those things out, then they would have the dinim of Rimonim and Tutim as well, which would be mach before like the Chachamim. Now the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, "Disana." As we learn in the Brisa, "Zeisim shemashach b'hem shemen v'anavim shemach shemen yain." If you have olives, which oil came out of them, and grapes, again they didn't squeeze them, but they just came out on their own. And grapes, which also some of the drips came out of them. V'chnisim bein la'ocha bein l'mashkim, and we originally stored this grapes and the olives, whether it is for food or for liquids. Hayotze mehen aser. The liquid that comes out of them is going to be aser. That is when the opinion of Tutsim Shemashchem Yain, Rimonim Shemashchem Yain. Now, when it comes to these mulberries or pomegranates, which they came out on their own, Bechnisan La Ochlin, you store them for eating, Yotzeman Mutter, what's going to come out is going to be Mutter to eat. The Mashkim Vilistam, however, if you leave it out for liquids or for no intended purpose, you don't say what you're doing it for, Yotzeman Usher, whatever comes out of them is going to be Usher. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, that's all the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Where, as the Chachamim say, it doesn't matter what you sort it for is going to matter. See, beferish in this brisa that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is clearly about tutim v'rimonim with regards to the mulberries and with regards to the pomegranates. That is a Rashi ad kedei kafel. Rashi is bothered by it. Rashi says, why does it even have to come on to the fact that Nachman Yitzchak is only maybe that the brisa is saying, and the brisa is extremely beferish that this is the machlokas. So Rashi comes on to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying the most machmir case. That even the juices of mulberries and pomegranates are going to be mutter, even that case is going to be mutter. So maybe the Chachamim would disagree with other cases that are of other fruits. That's why Rashi says it's not necessarily beferish about other things as well. So we see from here, though, that Rabbi Yehuda's disagreement with the Chachamim is based on those two things. That's what comes out. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Yehuda stam aser." Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that where there's no purpose, it's going to be whatever comes out is going to be aser? V'atzenan. Don't we learn in the Mishnah? Chalav aish. There's a very long shakta v'tar over here, so I guess we'll just go. Even though the next time I'm sure the daf after is a little bit longer, so maybe we'll just go weiter for now. So the Gemara says, "V'atzenan." The Mishnah tells us, "Chalav aish mitam derotzim shelrotzim." If you have milk of a woman, it's going to be settled to whether you wanted it to come out or not, because generally most of the times you do want it to come out. There's a din of heksher that something needs to be v'chiyut on mayim. Generally the seven mashkim is something that in order for a food or anything to be acceptable to tumah, first has to have one of the shivas mashkim come on it, and it has to be l'ratzon. V'chiyut on is the drasha that we learn out that it only has to be l'ratzon. So the tzishin of the chiddush said, even if you don't necessarily want her breast milk to come out, if it comes out, it's still going to be considered always l'ratzon, because generally she does want it to come out. However, if you have milk of an animal, it's only susceptible to tumah if it is something that you wanted there, and then it would have the status of something as a Shiva Samashkin, which we're mach before. However, I'm Rabbi Kiva Kavachomer. Rabbi Kiva argues, says, in only say Kavachomer, that animal is going to be the same din as as human milk. Who drinks the breast milk of a woman? Only a newborn, an infant. And yet it's going to be set all the time whether it's you wanted it to come out or not. So then, shouldn't it be chalev behema, that the milk of an animal, it's milk, everyone drinks milk all the time, right? Every coffee, every cereal, everything you're having. If everyone's drinking it, someone should be a kavachomer, that everyone should agree that it should be metamed. So then they responded to him, Amrullah, they responded back to Rabbi Kiva. But what's the comparison between a milk of a human, between that of an animal? The Torah designated the susceptible of tumah for a woman, not to just to ask the halacha. Why? Because they say another chumrah that why a woman that she has blood. If she's blood that caused the ruin is going to be susceptible to tumah. Yitame chalav beima. That we know that a woman who has blood is going to be susceptible to tumah, as opposed to yitame chalav behema, as opposed to milk of an animal, shelol ratzon shedame kavasa tahar. So that isn't it going to be that the blood of this wound of the animal is going to be tar? It's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So therefore, we can make a chiluk between that of a woman and is going to be unintentionally going to be more machmir, as opposed to the blood of an animal, which is not going to be considered a mashke. Therefore, Rashi also pointed out that the blood is kilo, it's making, it's producing the milk as well. So therefore, inherently, we have a reason to be more machmir with regards to the blood of a woman as opposed to blood of an isha. To which he responded, Rabbi Kiva said, "Amar lahen machmir ani bechalav bimadam. I'm more machmir when it comes to the milk than out of blood. Shachulav refuah tamid. If someone milks an animal for the animal is sick, and therefore it's still going to be susceptible to tumah. That is what comes out because you still wanted it to come out. If I make his refuah tar, as opposed to someone who is bleeding for therapeutic purposes, in that circumstance, that's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So then, in that case, the animal blood is not considered a mashke, as we mentioned before. So therefore, we're assuming that the law of milk is going to be more machmir than of blood. So therefore, I want to assume that milk should come out for an animal also should be more machmir, and assume that we should say my kal vachomer. So I guess we'll stop. It's a little bit in the middle, but we'll stop over here on the amrulo. We'll pick up with the amrulo emirta Hashem what the chachamim responded back to Rabbi Kiva's kal vachomer. Otherwise, we'll get to the whole amud. There's a back and forth over here. So Mr. Chen will pick up with this, and Mr. Chen tomorrow.